Oh, there he is. Y'all have like that much. Perfect. You're good. Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Westminster Baptist Church on this New Year's Eve day. I missed you all last week. I was away visiting family at Christmas, but I know you were in good hands with Pastor Glenn, Dwayne, and Pastor Larry, and so forth. So we look forward to singing some Christmas songs today. We're going to begin by singing Joy to the World and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. The words will be on the screen, and also they are hymn numbers 87 and 88, if you prefer that. Sanctuary singers, would you please stand? Thank you so much. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, everyone. Please stand as we sing these two songs. Joy to the World, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing. To recreate Christmas, Christmas Eve, Advent, Christmas Day. We sing these songs not just to commemorate and celebrate, but to actually recreate these feelings of love and gratitude in our hearts. If we could really hear the choirs of angels sing. The sanctuary singers come close. But I can tell you the couple of people in there, there are no angels. But actually, they're saying that about me, I think. I love each and every one of them. They work very hard to bring good music to this congregation. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Dwayne, please.
Yeah.
Please be seated. I begin the new year with a mistake. I end the old year with a mistake. Steve?
Well, again, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. Well, this is the day, isn't it? The end of 2017. Tomorrow's the beginning of 2018. And Pastor Larry retires today. Why not? Yay! He's going to retire. Larry, there's going to be a lot of people asking, how's retirement? Buddy Landrum has asked me 5 million times in the past 4 years. It's great. It is great.
Amen.
Enjoy it, sir. Enjoy. We'll have a little surprise at the end of the service, but he's preaching today. Yeah. And the sermon is, it's a new year. So good for us. Good for him as well. Hey, Mike, do we have that North Point star up there? North Star Point. I got it wrong again. I tell you, I can't do it right.
Steve told me this morning. Look so
see,
good.
We're from Maryland, and we've got that North Point city over on the other side of the world, you know.
I gave him that line. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't we have some talented people in this church? Really? You've got to come every week to see who the next talented person is. I'm telling you. The question of the day is, what is God's glory? And the response,
God's glory
is in his goodness and greatness shining out to the world. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. We thank you for this place that we can worship you. We thank you for the warmth and the believers in this church. We thank you for Pastor Larry and his love of 34 years here serving this church. And we wish him all the best. But we know you will take care of him. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings on us. For this Christmas season and for the upcoming 2018 year, we hope it's a lot better, but we know that you are watching over us and you have a path for us. Help us, Lord, to make our hearts ready for you, to listen to the word, to understand your word, and to go out and spread the word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lynn, lead
Pastor
us.
Pastor Larry.
Oh, one more thing. Yeah,
okay.
I forgot, sorry. You know, the announcement's under my bullet. We've got a new department here at the church. They're called the Snowmen. The Snowmen. And kudos to Tim Knorr, Dwayne, and Edwin Lucado, Ken, and Gavin Steen for sweeping the snow away, letting you come in. So kudos to them. Okay? Yeah. All right. Without further ado.
Thank you, sir.
Lead on.
Thank you. Sanctuary singers, please stand. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand. And while you're standing, I'm going to say it occurred to me while we were singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, that whatever we're singing in heaven, we will not be singing that because we were not present at that moment as the angels were. And I thought, gosh, that kind of makes me sad. But, you know, I know that we're going to be singing glorious, glorious music in heaven. It can't be any other way. And today we're going to sing the first Noel, which is hymn number 85, and O Come All Ye Faithful, number 89, all verses of each. Dwayne, please.
Oh,
singers. Ladies and gentlemen, please have a seat. 2 weeks ago, the Sanctuary Singers presented a wonderful Christmas cantata, and we're going to sing a selection from it today, which we feel is just the right selection to sing on this New Year's Day, New Year's Eve Day. For unto us a child is born. Without the child being born to us, there would be no Easter. Without Easter, there would be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there would be no salvation. It all starts with God's love, just coming to us in the form of a human. And that human started out as a child given unto us. And we're going to sing, for unto us a child is born. We do want to announce that after the service today, in the lobby outside the multipurpose room, we will be having a time of fellowship with Pastor Larry and Diane with cookies. So you want to get to the cookies before Larry does. I think you all know that. But this is the last day we have to love on this guy while he's here. So we don't want to miss that cookie fellowship.
Carl, we have paid our utility bills, have we not? Yes. I can tell you what the problem is with the heat today. It's 13 degrees outside. We're sorry that it's a little cool in here, so if you sit close, you'll be fine. It is time for Children's Church, so children, Kingdom Cadets, you are dismissed. Have a great time in Kingdom Cadets today. It is working. Okay. Wow, the day has finally come. I announced back in January that I would be retiring from the church on December 31st of this year. Today would be the last day for me to serve as pastor. I also knew when I made that announcement that the last day of the year was a Sunday, and so that I would have the great privilege on my very last day to preach. And when I made that announcement, I really had no idea what I was going to say today. Throughout the year, I figured God would give me the words. And, you know, how do you sum up 34 years of ministry? In fact, could there possibly be anything left unsaid after 34 years? On the other hand, there's so much I want to say today. And even at the beginning of this week, I was a bit uncertain as to what I was going to share today. I knew that today is New Year's Eve, and so we would be coming upon a new year, which is going to be very different for all of us, isn't it? This new year is going to be very different for the Steen family, because I am retired, well, for 3 weeks. I hope to truly enjoy my three-week retirement. Steve, you know, I'm going to live it up for the next 3 weeks. And then, beginning the 21st of January, I kind of jokingly say that I'm starting a new position, you know, as the Director of Missions of our association. And, man, it's a 40-hour-a-week daytime job. This is like a part-time job compared to the pastor. So I'm looking forward to living it up with a position such as that. But I had been thinking, what am I going to share on this day? And at the beginning of the week, my message was kind of nebulous. I guess I'll do something like a New Year's sermon. But today, during this week, I was reading from the book of Philippians. And as I was reading that book of Philippians, you know, it's a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. And as I was reading that letter, when I got to the third verse of chapter 1, I said, that's what I want to say to Westminster Baptist Church. And as I got a couple of verses further on down, I said, yes, that's what I want to say to Westminster Baptist Church. And I kept reading the entire book of Philippians, and every few verses, as I'm reading along, I'm saying, that's what I've been wanting to say to Westminster Baptist Church. And sometimes I read some things there in Philippians, and I thought, you know, I hadn't planned to say that, but boy, I really need to say that to Westminster Baptist Church on this last day. And so this is going to be a very unusual sermon. I have only preached two sermons in my years of experience where it's been my last day to be a pastor of a church. So all of those years of experience, I've only done this twice before. But this sermon's going to be a very unusual sermon because it's not my typical, you know, 3 or 5 points and some illustrations. You're going to have a hard time if you take notes trying to get the points down for this sermon, because this sermon is basically going to be the book of Philippians. And there's just so much in that book that I want to share with you today because it reflects the feelings of my heart and how I am approaching this new year. Let me say that the book of Philippians, the situation in which Paul found himself and the situation in which I find myself are completely different. Paul was experiencing persecution when he wrote that book. He was in jail when he wrote that book. And I certainly do not count my 34 years at Westminster as being a prison sentence. It has been a privilege and a joy. Paul recognized that his imprisonment could lead to his death, to execution. He refers to that in chapter 2, verse 17. And to date, I have no indication that I'm about to face a firing squad, so I praise God for that as well. The situation in which Paul finds himself writing this book and my situation are very different situations, but there is a great similarity. And the similarity is that the church at Philippi held a very special place in the heart of Paul. You get a sense as you read the letter to the Philippians that of all the churches that Paul ministered to and ministered in and all the churches that he founded, Philippi was the one that was dearest to his heart. And Westminster holds a dear place in my heart. For more than half of my life, I have served as the pastor of this church. And through the years, many dear folks have come and gone through the doors of this congregation, this church. Many have gone on to be with the Lord. And there are names of people that if I were to mention them, some of you who have been here a long time would remember, and to others, they would just be names. So many dear folks down through the years. And as I look around this room, I see still some folks who were here when I first came. Not that many of you anymore, but still just, we have had that relationship down through these years. So again, my sermon is going to be a bit unusual. It's not a sermon with 3, 4, 5 points that are easily listed that you can take notes and write in your bulletin. Instead, my sermon takes the form of a letter to Westminster Baptist Church. And it's based on Paul's letter to the Philippians. And as a side note, I've never been hesitant in the past to borrow another preacher's sermon or to allow other preachers to borrow mine. And today I'm going to borrow a lot from the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. Sometimes I'm going to quote Paul in my letter to Westminster Baptist Church directly. Probably 50% or more of this message today is going to come straight out of the book of Philippians. But at other times, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit because I want you to understand that Philippians is a letter from Paul to the church at Philippi. What I'm sharing with you today is a letter from Pastor Larry to Westminster Baptist Church. And it's based on the book of Philippians. So sometimes I'm going to be just quoting Paul directly, sometimes paraphrasing a bit, because it just speaks so well of my feelings about this day. Other times I'm going to go completely off track, because sometimes Paul refers to situations in his life that aren't applicable to us today. And so I'm going to substitute some of the situations that are applicable to us today. So my sermon today is in the form of a letter. And I hope as I share the letter with you, you will hear a word from God today. Now, not that, Paul's letter became part of the New Testament scriptures, and obviously mine is not going to do that. It's not going to be part of the scriptures. But just as Paul would write a letter to the churches, and it would be read in the church as part of their worship service, today I want you to understand that this is my heartfelt letter to you. And I hope as I read you this letter that you will hear it as a message from God today. So before I read the letter, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can gather together and worship in this place. I thank you for the privilege of serving here as pastor all of these years. I thank you, Father, that you're not done with me yet, and that, Father, you have a place for me to serve. I thank you, Father, for these dear people who are a part of this church and what they have meant to Diane and my family down through the years. And Father, today I pray that the word I share might be a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word that brings joy. Because Father, we have wonderful reasons to rejoice. And Father, today let that be our theme. That because of what you have done for us, the hope that you give through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, may we all have joy on this day. I know, Father, there have been some tears of sadness, but Father, I want to emphasize the joy that you have given to each of us as we call on your name, as we find our hope and our salvation in you, and as we have shared together in ministry down through these years, may we remember with fondness and look forward to the future with an expectation that your joy will be with us until that day we see you face to face, and then our joy will be multiplied even more. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have a PowerPoint, and I'm going to suggest to you that you all determine how you best listen when someone speaks. You might want to turn directly to the book of Philippians and follow along as I share with you my letter and as I paraphrase, as I add to, delete from, as we look at that letter as being a letter from me to the church rather than a letter from Paul to the church of Philippi. Some of you might do better by following along with the text and seeing where I follow and where I depart. Others of you may do better just listening. I leave that up to you. But I want to share with you why this book of Scripture fits so well for this occasion and why it has resonated with me as I read it this week. So the letter. From Pastor Larry, a servant of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Westminster Baptist Church. Together with the pastors and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. Do you see why, just reading through the third verse, I began to resonate with what Paul has to say here? I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day of my ministry here until now. We have been so blessed by the support, the love, the prayers, and the opportunity to work together over these 34 years. We are certainly partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank my God for that partnership. And I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I am confident that whether I am here as your pastor or I'm not here as your pastor, God is at work in your lives and will be at work in your lives, and that his purposes will be carried out. Know that I am praying for you, that his purposes be carried out in your lives. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. For even though I will not be with you most Sundays in the future, I'll be preaching in other churches, sharing the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. You have been supportive of me and my ministry down through the years, and you will still be very much a part of the ministry that I am engaging in as the director of missions of our association. And your support and your prayers in that new endeavor are so needed. I ask your prayers in that new endeavor. God can testify how I love all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. You'll need discernment in the days ahead as your search team is looking for a new pastor. You'll need discernment as to new directions for the church. And it is my prayer that as you seek the guidance and the wisdom of the Lord, that you will discern that, and that God's love and his righteousness will flow to you to the glory of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what is happening in my life is serving to advance the gospel. My new position as director of missions gives me the privilege to share the word of God in many different church settings and to be an encourager of pastors who shepherd those churches. Pray for me that I may speak the word of God courageously and fearlessly. And rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. Because pastors don't just retire. They continue to preach the name of Jesus. They just keep preaching on and on and on. And this pastor plans to keep preaching on and on the crucified and risen and coming again Christ wherever I go. I am filled with joy, and I look forward to the new opportunities that God has given me. And I know that through your prayers and the help given me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, God will use me for his glory. That is my desire. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always that Christ will be exalted in my body until the day I die. I affirm Paul's great affirmation of faith when he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I hope that you can affirm that too. Amen. As long as I go on living in the body, in this body, it is my desire to bring fruitful labor for the Lord. And convinced of this, Diane and I will continue to be a part of this congregation with all of you. We won't be here most Sundays, but we will be in other churches preaching and teaching there. But we wish for this congregation that we progress and experience together the joy of our faith in the Lord. And we look forward to those times of being with you once again. In the meantime, in my absence, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. I'm trusting that you all will remain faithful while I am going elsewhere. That you not be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. I encourage each and every one of you to take up your cross daily and to follow Jesus. We're not called to be at ease at Zion while we're living upon this earth. We are called to step out of our comfort zones, to minister to others in the name of Christ. We're called to go out of our way, even to the point of suffering personal loss or hardship, or the relinquishing of personal desires, that the gospel of Jesus Christ might be proclaimed. I urge you to fulfill that calling. If you're following along in Philippians, we're starting chapter 2 right now. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. I think there is nothing that a departing pastor could appreciate more than for the church that he leaves, for the people to be like-minded, to have the same love, to be one in spirit and purpose. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. May your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is what we have proclaimed here for 34 years. And it is my prayer that that continues. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. Though I am leaving, God's still at work here at Westminster Baptist Church. I have been praying that the best years of this church's history are yet to come. God is at work. And I encourage each of you to be seeking his direction in that. Do everything without complaining or arguing. You know, sometimes it's easy to do things in the church to complain. But I want you to listen to what Paul says in these next words. A word that I would share with you. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. You know, we can shine like stars in the universe in many ways. Paul points out, I guess, that you could do it complaining and arguing. But he says, and I'm confident that this will be the case for Westminster Baptist Church, that you will shine like stars in this universe because of your devotion to God, because you are blameless and pure children of God who seek to live without fault in this crooked and depraved generation. In the next verses, Paul talks about his potential persecution. I thank God we don't experience that today. But Paul tells us that even if we should experience persecution, we should be glad and rejoice with one another. Because God has given us the ultimate victory. And there is nothing that the world can take away from us. If you're following along in the book of Philippians, we've come to chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. There have been a few tears the last several weeks and months. A couple of people have come up to us and have expressed how much we were going to be missed. You know, it felt good to hear that. But it's not the tears that I want to say so much as the joy. Rejoice in the Lord. We need to rejoice in the Lord and to realize we have so much to rejoice about. Paul says, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. It's a safeguard for you. It's a safeguard to rejoice to emphasize our joy and not our our problems and our struggles. God loves a thankful and joyful heart. And as we rejoice, we are warned. Watch out for those who would disrupt the unity of the church or would impose upon it values and actions that are more of this world than of the Spirit. Don't get caught up in legalism. Don't judge people merely by outward appearances. Paul talks about all of his credentials that he has. But no earthly credentials, whether they be riches or power or titles or profession, nationality or prestigious ancestry, none of those things entitle us to the love of God or to a heavenly reward. All of these things must be considered loss for the sake of Christ. Earthly credentials mean nothing. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ is our Savior. That is what matters. And so Paul says, what's more, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul experienced great loss. He was in prison. He might possibly have faced execution. My situation is so different. Diane and our family have been blessed beyond measure, far more than we deserve. We thank God every day for the blessings and pray for God's wisdom to use those blessings wisely. Yet all of our blessings are nothing. All of them are nothing and must be considered a loss for the sake of Christ, because whatever blessings we may have here on this earth, what did Jesus say? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is most important is to be found in Christ. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. All of our blessings are nothing in comparison to knowing Christ and to be found in Him. Through the teaching of the gospel, I found I don't have a righteousness of my own that comes from observance of the law. I found that such a righteousness is impossible. We can't live up to the law. It doesn't save us. It is merely a schoolmaster that teaches us that we are sinners. But I praise God that I have found a righteousness which is through faith in Christ. A righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And that is what each and every one of us needs to hang on to day by day and moment by moment. I want to know Christ and experience the power of His resurrection, to experience new life. And if need be, and boy, Paul says this, and it's kind of scary to say it, to know the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings and to become like Him in His death, so as somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Paul wanted to know Christ so completely that he was willing to share in Christ's sufferings. Such was the dedication of Paul. May that be the dedication that we have in the days ahead. And Paul says, not that I've already obtained the resurrection or earthly perfection, far from it, but I press on, and I encourage you to press on, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And all of you who are mature should think such things. And if you don't understand that yet, I pray you will. So let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern given in the scriptures and that we have given you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Brothers and sisters at Westminster Baptist Church, our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, may he transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like Christ's glorious body. Those of you who have been following along in Philippians, we're in chapter 4 now. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. These things which I've shared with you, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Do everything you can to maintain your love and fellowship within the congregation. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May you have that peace of God. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of these things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And I may add, whatever failings you may have seen in me, learn from my mistakes and do not repeat them. And the God of peace will be with you. Diane and I rejoice greatly in the Lord for all the love that you have shown us. The notes, the cards, the tears, the last weeks. Down through the years, all of the support you have given us has been most generous and welcome. The banquet you all put on for us a month ago, that was top notch. Top notch. Thank you. You have done well in supporting your pastor. Not only according to the physical needs of your pastor and his family, but the spiritual and emotional needs. And I pray that you will equally support the pastors that we now have. And the pastor that you will call as your full-time, as your lead pastor. Support them as you have me. And I leave the church in good hands. Pastor Glenn and Pastor Tony, I thank you for the work that you have done, Lynn, the work that you have done, as our worship leader. For Jeff, working as our volunteer administrator who has dealt with issues like snow in the parking lots on Sunday mornings that I don't have to deal with. I leave the church in good hands, and I encourage you to support your pastors, especially during this time of interim. Let them be the shepherds of this flock, and to give the leadership that you have called them to give. And as Paul concludes his letter, and as I conclude my letter to Westminster Baptist, I pray for you that God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. Father, I pray that as Paul spoke to the church at Philippi, and as I have spoken to the church here at Westminster Baptist, that, Lord, you will take this church. We entrust it. We entrust her in your hands, Father. And Father, we love you, and we look forward to seeing what you will do, not only in the life of this church, but in the life of our sister churches and our association, as I serve them there. And Father, we just want to rejoice today. We have so much to be joyful about. We have so many blessings which we do not deserve. And Father, there may be someone here in this room today who knows that they do not deserve your heaven, your forgiveness, your grace. They have never called upon the name of Jesus as their Savior and as Lord. But they know, Father, that there is something missing in their lives, that they do not experience the love of Jesus in their hearts. They do not know the wonderful gospel message of forgiveness, mercy, and grace. There's an emptiness that only you can fill. And I pray today that as we close this service, that if there is someone here today who does not know that love of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that today might be the day that they surrender to Jesus and recognize that true life, new life, can only come through faith in the Lord Jesus. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lynn, our invitation hymn.
Our invitation is hymn number 486. Lord, here am I gladly obey. Only direct me and I'll find thy way. Please stand as we sing hymn number 486.
Today is the day to do it. Today is the day to do it.
Master, thou callest, I gladly obey. Only direct me, and I'll find.
Father and our God, we come to you today on the dawn of this new year. And Lord, we just pray your blessings upon this congregation. We ask you, Father, to show mercy and grace as you have in the past. And I pray, Father, for every member of this church, that, Lord, we look to what you have done for us. We look to your blessings. We looked at how you have provided in the past, how you have protected in the past. And Father, with joy, look forward to the future. That, Lord, to see how you will work with us. We are confident, Father, that what you have begun in us, you will continue into its completion. And so we look forward to seeing how you do that. Now, Lord, bless us as we go from this place. Use us always in your service. May our love for one another just be compounded more and more. And we pray your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Larry, if you wouldn't mind staying up here for a moment, please.
You're not going anywhere, brother.
Oh.
I'd like to ask Don and the rest of the deacons that are present to come forward. And we have a presentation to make, and we'd like to pray over you to send you out from this church. Brother Don.
So, Pastor Larry, on behalf of Westminster Baptist Church, we just wanted to say enjoy your retirement. We love you. And we have collected a love offering on behalf of the church. I just want to present you with a card to say we love you. Enjoy retirement, but we do look forward to seeing you throughout the months and years. And I can tell you, Pastor Larry will be very, very busy come March 15th. He will be over in Haiti.
Yep.
And he will be the lead pastor probably for over 500 pastors in a pastor's conference. So not just taking the director of missions, but also taking it around the world as well. So, Pastor Larry, thank you. And we love you.
Oh, thank you.
And Diane, would you come on up, too? I know you don't like being up front, but we won't ask this next week of you. And Deacons, if you could just kind of surround Pastor and Diane. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our servant, our pastor, our shepherd. And Father, we love him. We love Diane. And we want to be a sending church.
Yes.
So now, God, we are sending Pastor Larry to be a pastor of many pastors in this new role of director of mission. We ask your blessings and mercy upon him and his ministry as he moves forward from here into this new role. And we pray for our church as well, God, that your hand would be upon us and that you would lead us and guide us and direct us. And we love this man, We love his wife. We will miss him, but God, you have been good to us. And you have so many things in store in the future for not only this church, but for Pastor Larry's new ministry as well. So we release him with our blessings for your honor and your glory. We pray this together as a church family in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen. Amen.
We love you.
Bless you all. May you have a very happy
And we are going year. To sing the chorus only of O Come All Ye Faithful, and then we will tell Larry how much and Diane how much we love them, and we'll eat cookies at the same time. Cookies. I knew he couldn't resist doing that. O come all ye faithful, just the chorus. O come, let us adore him. Have a wonderful evening and Happy New Year.